The title of this conference is Uncovering the Riches of the Unconscious. God is able to speak to us in many ways. For example, He speaks to us during prayer, through the reading of the Bible, through the insights of another human being, either by word of mouth or by reading a book. However, one of the main ways God wishes to speak to us is through the unconscious. This can happen in one of two major ways, either through night dreams that happen to us while we are asleep, or what might be called waking dreams, through our active imagination during our waking hours. Unfortunately, most people today are not very proficient in knowing how to interpret dreams and images from the unconscious. The reason for this is that the unconscious uses the language of symbols when it speaks to us, either through night dreams or waking dreams. And we, particularly in the Western world, are not very proficient in interpreting the language of symbols. We are too literal-minded. For example, too fundamentalist very often in our interpretation of the scriptures, since much of the scriptures speaks to us in symbols. And the reason why God makes use of the language of symbols in dreams and when it speaks to us in the unconscious as well as through the Bible is because God dwells at a different level of reality from us, from what we call the transcendental or numinous level of reality. And we only are familiar with the language of this present earthly level. When God is forced to use our words, our images, they are always spoken to us in a symbolic way. In other words, they have a higher meaning than the literal or the obvious meaning. And this is certainly true in the language of dreams and the language of the unconscious. As a result of our inability to interpret this symbolic language of the unconscious, most persons today are unable to make good use of their unconscious psyche in relating to God and in receiving God's messages that come by this particular way. Spiritual directors, therefore, today have a special responsibility to familiarize themselves with this language of symbols and to read up on the new insights that we have today and how to interpret the unconscious when it speaks to us either through dreams, in sleep, or through the waking imagination. Otherwise, the directee suffers a real loss and is often prevented from knowing clearly God's will in his or her regard. There is little excuse for anyone today to be ignorant of this knowledge of the language of the unconscious. One of the greatest discoveries of this century has been the ability to unlock the secrets and the mysteries of the unconscious. In other words, to be able to understand and interpret the language that the unconscious speaks to us, the language of symbols. We might compare the discovery of the unconscious that has been made by many people, beginning with Freud and Jung and Adler and many others. We might relate that and compare that to the discovery of nuclear energy by Einstein and others. In both instances, we now have available to us here on Earth two unlimited sources of energy, so it would seem. In the case of nuclear fusion or fission, it is physical energy. We have now been able to split the atom and to unlock the tremendous energy that is in every particle of matter. In the case of the discoveries and the insights regarding the unconscious, we are dealing here with psychic energy, with spiritual energy, with numinous or transcendental energy. And certainly of the two, physical energy from nuclear power and psychic energy from the unconscious, of the two, the psychic energy is even more powerful than the energy that we have been able to discover through breaking open the atom. And so now that we have these new ways of using and interpreting the language of the unconscious, we need to make sure that we learn about it and that we make use of it. There are two excellent books that I would recommend both to directors and directees to help us in interpreting this language of the unconscious. One is entitled Dreams and Spiritual Growth. And the subtitle is A Christian Approach to Dream Work. And there are three authors for this book: Lewis Savary, S-A-V-A-R-Y, Patricia Byrne, B-E-R-N-E, and Strephon Kaplan Williams. Paulus Press published this book in 1984. It gives 37 different ways to work with dreams in order to be able to interpret the message that God wishes to impart to us through our dreams. The other book that I would recommend is called Psychosynthesis by Roberto Assagioli. Particularly, I think it is the second appendix in Assagioli's book, Psychosynthesis, that I would call your attention. It is called Initiated Symbol Projection, or very often it goes simply by the three letters ISP. This was originally written by two psychiatrists in West Germany, Hans Karl Launer, L-E-U-N-E-R, and H.J. Cornadt, K-O-R-N-A-D-T. This was translated and edited and amplified by an American psychologist named William Schwartley and has been included in the book Psychosynthesis. I would like to just give you some suggestions, both how to interpret dreams, how to unlock the riches of the unconscious that comes to us through night dreams, through the dreams that we have while we are asleep, and then give you some suggestions as to how to use our active imagination and what might be called waking dreams or what is called initiated symbol projection. This second method is especially important because lots of people complain they don't dream, or at least they don't remember their dreams. Well, through this second method of initiated symbol projection, we're able to uncover the riches of the unconscious while we are awake, and as a result, be able to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us as Holy Spirit wants to speak to us through the unconscious. Another publication that I would recommend, which is published by the Psychosynthesis Research Foundation in New York City, 527 Lexington Avenue. The zip code is 10017. It is called The Directed Daydream by Robert DeSoile, DeSoille. This directed daydream is simply another word for initiated symbol projection. First of all, in regards to the interpretation of dreams, and as I said, the book that I especially recommend, Dreams and Spiritual Growth, has 37 different ways of working with dreams. And I would recommend that you try many of these different ways until you find the particular way that helps you to unlock the riches of the unconscious, to be open to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through dreams. We can think of dreams as a particular way that God has of getting through to our conscious life when we are placing some kind of an obstacle in our conscious daily life. When we are asleep, our defenses are down. We no longer throw up those walls between ourselves and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is able to speak more freely to us through dreams. Not all dreams have a special meaning. It seems to me there are three different classes of dreams. There are the sort of the housekeeping or the house cleaning dreams, the small dreams. And then you have the medium-sized dreams where there is a real message that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. And finally, there are the big dreams. Some people have many big dreams. Most people are fortunate to have one big dream in their lifetime, or at the most once every year or so. Most of the dreams that have real meaning to us are the medium-sized dreams, and those are the ones I'm going to be working with and suggesting how to interpret them. For many people, the dreams that happen at nighttime are the small dreams, house cleaning dreams. And these are dreams that, at least in my opinion, we need not take very seriously. My own way of handling such dreams is that if the mood of the dream, if the tenor of the dream resembles the same mood that I had the previous day, I discount the dream. I no longer take it seriously, because to me that dream is simply telling me that I am on the right course in my conscious life, that I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm open to the Holy Spirit through the normal, ordinary ways of prayer, common sense, as well as being open to the scriptures and to what other people say. The only time that I take a dream seriously and try to interpret it is whenever it runs at cross purposes to the mood of the previous day, or whenever the dream is very vivid and seems to, my common sense tells me, has a message. Therefore, I would disagree with certain people like Morton Kelsey and John Sanford, who seem to indicate that every dream is important, that we need to work with every dream. Well, in that case, I'd never be able to do anything else, because I dream all night long. I have many dreams every night. And so I think that for lots of people, dreams are not the normal way that God speaks to them. At least my theory is that if we are open to God during prayer time, especially, if we're open to God in the scriptures and in our other reading, that this would be the normal way that God reveals his will to us. But if for one reason or another we're not open to God during our conscious waking hours, then God has to fall back on this strange language of symbols to speak to us through our dreams. Some people, this happens frequently, perhaps even every night. for all of us, I would say it happens from time to time. So how do we handle a dream? First of all, many dreams end before they are supposed to. In other words, the dream breaks off. We wake up, or the dream simply stops in the midst of some action. When this happens, it means that in some way we are putting up an obstacle to the fulfillment, the carrying out of the whole dream action. And therefore, that's the part to attack and try to finish the dream while we are awake. One of the best ways to do this is to just to close our eyes and to listen to some classical music for 10 or 15 minutes, or 5 minutes at least. A relaxing kind of music. It should not be music that has words attached to it, but just the sound of the music that helps us to relax and to get in touch with our unconscious, closing our eyes, not doing anything else, just sitting or lying down, listening to this music is a wonderful way to get back into the dream mood. The next step is to take the dream as we remember it and to relive it in the present tense. In other words, go through the dream step by step. Now, ideally, this can best be done with the help of another person, particularly if it's someone who has a facility in interpreting dreams, particularly someone who has a good intuitive sense, as well as a deep feeling, is able to personalize and get in our shoes and walk with us. An NF temperament, in other words. So if we can get the help of a friend, fine. But if not, we can still do it by ourselves. So we walk through the dream as we remember it in the present tense. I am doing this. And there is, of course, what we call the dream ego. It's the I in the ego, which can be quite different from the conscious ego. And we continue the dream until where it suddenly ends. And then we just let our active imagination, whatever first comes to us, to what might be the direction that it goes. At this time, if your active imagination is quite rich, you might want to open your eyes and have a sheet of paper and jot down whatever thoughts come to you. Or if there is a friend who's helping you, let the friend jot down whatever thoughts that occur to you. You don't try to interpret these thoughts. It's always the first thing that comes to your mind. That's what you express. And you just follow it through in whatever direction your imagination might take you. Now, the first time you do this, it may seem rather artificial. But after a few times, and the Savory book, Dreams and Spiritual Growth, suggests different ways of how to get into this mood, you will find that this imagination does work. And then after it's all over, either alone or if you have a friend there, you go back over these new thoughts, these new images that came to you as you finished the dream during this active conscious imagination time, and try then to interpret, try to find the symbols. What do they mean? And in interpreting these symbols in dreams, ordinarily, you do not take them literally. Occasionally, they are so clear that you can take them literally. But most of the time, you have to always look at them in a symbolic way. For example, if someone dies in a dream, you don't take that literally. If you dream that you are dying, that's not to be taken literally. It means that something of you, of your personality, needs to die. You need to let go of some part of your personality in order for something new to be born. In other words, it's the Paschal mystery, death and resurrection. In interpreting the symbols of your dreams, you can interpret them in two ways, either the subjective way or the objective way. Subjective way is that every character in the dream, every event in the dream, is a part of you and a part of your life. And this would be true whether it's people of the same sex or of the opposite sex. They are parts of your shadow, parts of your unconscious, parts of what Jung calls your anima or your animus, your masculinity or your femininity, that is trying to become conscious, is seeking to be brought up into conscious life. And remember, ordinarily the dream is dealing with something that consciously you are now repressing, that you are now preventing it to come up into consciousness. And God is now using the time while you're asleep, when your defenses are down, in order to get through to your conscious life. But always, or almost always, by means of symbols. So you try to interpret them. Jung was of the opinion that a dream can mean anything, but the only person that can authentically interpret a dream, according to Jung, was the dreamer. And so, it's only when it clicks, when only you say, oh yes, aha, that, yes, that makes sense. That's the way that you are reasonably sure you have interpreted the dream correctly. But always remember that your unconscious, or if you wish, the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the unconscious, is always your friend, is always there to help you. It's like having a very wise and loving counselor that is by your side and present. It is, of course, true that evil spirits can occasionally make use of dreams in order to get into our consciousness. The test there is, by their fruits you will know them. If there is something very evil that it's suggesting to you to do, you know that's not what God wants. But always try to symbolize it. Always try to take it from the conscious, physical, earthly level to the spiritual level. So if there is violence in the dream, if there is killing or whatever else it might be, try to transpose that to a spiritual sense. Is there something that needs to be killed in you, that needs to be gotten rid of, a particular direction of your life that is taking that you should not be taking? Another way of using our dreams is to dialogue with the dream figures. And again, Louis Savory and Patricia Byrne and Strephon Williams, in their book Dreams and Spiritual Growth, give you a number of ways to do this. Let me just suggest one way, and that is to take each character in the dream, whether it be human beings that meet in your dream, or whether it be like animals or a particular event even, and dialogue with each of those characters. And basically you dialogue by asking five questions. What is your name? What do you want? What can I do for you? How can you help me? Where do we go from here? In other words, the next step in trying to get in touch with God's will. What is your name? You insist on the dream figure giving a name. Because once you have the name of the dream figure, now it can no longer harm you. You have power over it. And if the first name that the dream figure gives, if it's just has no meaning to you, Joe or John or Mary, and if those names don't call up any special memories to you, you keep insisting, do you have another name? And you keep asking for the name until the dream figure, which means until your imagination comes up with a name that makes sense to you. Aha, yes, okay, that makes sense. In other words, now you can identify the dream figure as a part of your personality, as something that is a part of you. And then the second thing is what do you want? You always presume that the dream figure is there for some purpose. And so you ask the dream figure in your imagination. This is while you're conscious, while you're awake. And you put down whatever first comes to your mind using your imagination. What do you think that this particular figure in the dream or this particular event wants? Then what can I do for you? In other words, you befriend the dream figure. You presume that it's your friend and you offer help. If it's an animal, for example, you try to feed it. You try to react always in a positive way, in an affirmative way, rather than a negative way, rather than using violence. So you try to do some favor for each dream figure. And then thirdly, now what can you do for me? What favor do you have for me? How can I help you, you know? And then fourthly, you know, what can you do for me? Why are you here? You'll be amazed at some of the answers that come to you. And then if nothing has happened, where do we go from here? In other words, what's the next step? How do I handle this dream figure or this whole dream interpretation? This then is the subjective way of working with dreams. Thinking of each part of the dream, each person, each figure in the dream as a part of you. This objective way is to think of this dream as offering some insight into your relationship with the world, with other people. I would recommend that you get the book Psychosynthesis by Roberto Assagioli and go to that Appendix 2 in that book on initiated symbol projection, and that you would make use of some of the terms and some of the symbols that are suggested there, like climbing a mountain, going into a cave, visiting a house, following the course of a river, waiting for a figure to emerge from a cave, going into a pool of water, going to the bottom of the pool, looking for something, for some treasure there. And then whatever your imagination comes up with, whatever figures that come to you, this is the waking dream. While you're fully awake, you just close your eyes, listen to the music for a while, and then whatever first comes to you, then you dialogue with it, you follow it. Again, ideally, the best way to work with these waking dreams, this initiated symbol projection, is to have a friend to make the suggestions. There is one big caution that when you're doing this, always end on a positive note, never on a negative note. And therefore, the suggestion is, for example, to start out with a pleasant scene, like imagining oneself in a meadow. And if things get rough or difficult, or you just can't go on from there, you never leave it on a downbeat, on a negative note. You bring the person or bring yourself back to the meadow so that you come out of the initiated symbol projection always in a positive way. One such way is to climb to the top of the mountain and meet a wisdom figure there and to ask questions, but always end with something positive. This is the end of the conference.